That series today, and we will be dealing with the subject of real concern. Real concern. So you've been dealing with a lot of different topics in this series, amen. And I know we seems like we're jumping around a little bit, but this is pretty much the ending of James, where James is giving his final message. The one last thing that James had to say. And it's so interesting because throughout the book of James, you've been following a pattern. And James moved from one subject to the next, to the next, to the next. And before he began to speak about this subject that we're going to speak about today, he began by talking about prayer. And then at the end, it's kind of like he says, by the way, there is this one subject that I need to speak about. It's kind of like the elephant in the room. It's a subject that we as believers don't like to talk about, but we're going to talk about it. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity that you have given us to open your word. As we uncover what you have written in your word, Lord God, may we apply it to our lives. May we listen to you, and may we be obedient. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So today is September 11th. And I'm sure every single one of us can remember where we were who have experienced what happened over 15 years ago in New York. And I think one of the interesting things about what happened on September 11th, there was so many people and people of faith who were using this opportunity to say that God was judging America. And the reason why they thought that way was because they have felt that America has fallen away from the principles that built America in the beginning. And throughout the years, there are many people who have been saying that things are going to happen, these things are going to happen, but they use the opportunity as a way to say it's God's judgment on America. Now, I'm not here to tell you yes, and I'm not here to tell you no, because to tell you the honest truth, I don't know. I don't know. And I'm pretty sure that a lot of the people who are making those comments, they themselves don't know. But one of the things that you will identify and you will be able to agree with me with is the fact that there is a real concern in the United States about the direction that our country is headed. Wouldn't you say that? That we as believers have real concerns. And September 11th kind of brought up some of those concerns, because immediately after 9/11, guess what happened? Almost every church was full, because people realized that there was something in our lives that was missing. Something that we used to do that we don't do anymore, but thank God that they remember where to run. And the first place they ran was where? In a church. But the sad thing that happened was what happened after September 11. It wasn't months after that we found out that there was some people who said, you know what? Okay, we thank you, God, for everything that you have done for building this country and protecting us, and we're going after the bad guys, but we want to take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. And America began a slippery slope until where we are today. And we're still at the point in our lives where we're saying, you know what? I have some real concerns about where we're headed as a country. I have some real concerns about the world that my children are going to be growing up in. I have some real concerns about the church and what is happening because of some of the things that we're seeing. It's very interesting. So we're talking about the subject of real concern. And I can remember when I was about 18 years old, I was very vibrant in the church. I was involved in youth ministry. I was one of the youth group leaders at the time. But I remember that I began a slippery slope in my own personal life. And that slippery slope led me to where I was with some friends who we decided that we were going to form a DJ set. Most of you remember me from early out. You know how big I was into reggae music. And I love reggae music. I would say if there's one weakness that I have as a believer, it would be reggae music. You start playing some reggae and then you get me. And I think that's one of the things that happened to me. And I hooked up with some friends from high school, and we formed a DJ set. And we decided that we're going to go around, and we're going to play at parties. We're going to play at clubs. We're going to have a good time. We're going to build this thing. We're going to make it big. We had one guy who his job was responsible for spinning the records. I was the guy that was on the mic. Fitting, right? And we decided that we were going to change the world. I totally deviated from all the things that I've been taught in Sunday school and in church. And there were so many people in church that had some real concern about me, because they were concerned about where my life was headed. And I can remember there were one time when we were playing at this party. And I remember all the kids were there and they were dancing. Everybody was having a good time. But I began to feel guilty, because I know deep down inside that this is not where I'm supposed to be. I'm not supposed to be here. But I was still enjoying myself. We were sitting there. And I remember I see all my friends were there dancing. And I saw this one girl. And I was like, man, I would like to dance with that girl. And everybody was dancing with her. So I was sitting there kind of weighing my options. And then I finally got the courage. And I said, you know what, let me go over and let me go try to dance with her. So I went over and I was dancing with her, right? And everything was going good. And then all of a sudden, this dude, which was about 7 foot, looked like he was about 300 pounds, just came and pushed me. And I was getting ready to get back and lunge at him. But then I just said, you know what? It didn't worth it. I think its size was what actually turned me off. But I looked at him, and I just turned away and walked back. And I can remember thinking to myself, you know what? I really shouldn't be here. And I knew that I shouldn't be. But I thought that this was an opportunity that God had created just to remind me that I shouldn't be here. There was a brother at church. His name is Brother Morris. He used to call me while I was in my state of wondering. He used to call me every now and then. He used to call me and ask me, how are things going with you? What's going on with you? I need to see you. I want you to come back to church and things like that. And I wasn't really interested. I was there at church, but my heart wasn't really there. And that's just the way that I was at that time. So I remember one time I went to work, and on my way coming from work, and I was listening to this program on television. They were talking about the Antichrist. And when they started making the descriptions about what's going to happen and what's to come, I began to get real concerned about where my life was headed. And it was at that moment that I said, you know what? I think I'm going to cash in on this world. I think I'm going to turn my life back over the way God wanted me to. And so I called up Brother Morris, who he kept pursuing me throughout all of this, and he started talking to me, and he said, Calvin, hey, listen, I'm having a Bible study by my house. I would like for you to come by. And I said, okay. And I came by, went by to the Bible study, and that's what began to change my life and to turn me back around. You see, Brother Morris, he had real concern about me. He had real concern about where I was headed as a believer. Now, I'm sure there are some of you that are here this morning, and some of you may be saying to yourself, you know what? I have some concern about some people in my family. I have some friends. They used to be in the choir. They used to be in church. They used to be involved in the youth group, but they're no longer involved, and I don't know what happened to them. I don't know where they are. I haven't seen them for a long time, and I have some real concerns about them. I have some real issue with that. And I really want to help them, and I really want to get them to come to know the Lord, but I don't know what to do. For some of you, it may be your children. After they went off to college, you don't hear much from them anymore. You ask them, how is church? Let's not talk about that. And they don't want to really get involved in things of the Lord, and you begin to get really concerned. You know, as parents, sometimes we think that after they reach a certain age, we don't worry about them anymore. But we realize that as kids are growing, is the more and more we get concerned about their lives. Amen? And even when they're married, and Pastor Donat just experienced this last week, where his daughter just got married and she's now moved on with her life. And I'm pretty sure most people will be like, okay, you must be happy that they're all out of the house. Yes, but it just brings up another concern. And they will never be able to get away from that concern. Well, you know what's interesting is that the Bible have a lot to say about being concerned. And this is exactly what James was speaking about when he was speaking in the last chapter. And I want you to read with me in James chapter 5, and it's actually verse 19. James chapter 5 and verse 19 and verse 20. And I want you to read it with me just so that we can get a clear understanding of what the Bible says and what James was speaking about when he was talking about real concerns. Look what he said. He says, "My brothers and sisters, if any one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover a multitude of sin." He will save them from death, and he will cover a multitude of sin. What is James talking about? James is saying that when it comes to believers, there is an issue that we need to talk about, but we tend to ignore at times. And James is saying that the issue that I want to talk about is the believer that tend to wander at times. Those are the believers who, they belong to Christ, and they used to walk with Christ, but now they have deviated from the truth. And those believers are now living in a world, and that should create some concern for you as a believer. For us as believers, it ought to concern us. And what James is saying here is, listen, we need to be concerned about what God is concerned about with. And what is interesting about that is that God is always concerned about those who he has lost. As a matter of fact, Jesus has said in his word that, listen, I came for the lost sheep of Israel. And three of Jesus's parables specifically dealt with issues of concern. You remember the story of the lost coin? You remember also the story of the lost sheep? And then Jesus also spoke of the parable of the lost son. In other words, what Jesus is saying is, people matter. And whatever matters to Jesus, James is now saying, must matter to you. So if they are concerned, if God is concerned about them, then they ought to be concerned by you. We ought to be concerned about them. And that's pretty much what James is saying here. He is saying that Jesus, and James didn't say this, but Jesus was intentional about rescuing lost people. Jesus was intentional about rescuing lost people. One of the stories that we remember is the story of Peter. Peter denied Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. And Jesus was so concerned about Peter that Jesus went and met with Peter, even after Peter had denied him three times. And then Jesus began that restoration period to try to bring Peter back into the fold. So James here is saying, listen what James is saying here. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from their error will save them from death and overcome a multitude of sin. A multitude of sin. So what is James saying? Number one, James is saying we must have real concerns for our brothers and sisters, and we must actively pursue those who wander from the truth. We must have real concerns for our brothers and sisters, and we must actively pursue those who wander from the truth. Now, the word wander, it means to go astray. And that is whether it could be intentional or it could be circumstantial. Now, how do we go astray as believers? Sometimes we go astray when we have an undisciplined prayer life. And if you look at James, if you read like a couple of verses before this, you will find that James was speaking about prayer. And James was saying that if there is someone who is sick, let him call for the elders. And then James continued to talk about the person who prays, and then he moved down, and then he began to talk about the people who are wandering. And what James is saying here is, listen, we tend to wander when we have an undisciplined prayer life. The second thing that James is saying here is that, listen, not only do we tend to wander when we have an undisciplined prayer life, but we also tend to wander when we are refusing to commit to the reading of the Word of God. Whenever we deviate from reading the Word of God, then you will find that people tend to wander. The third, and those are the two things. He says, if you have an undisciplined prayer life or you refuse to commit to the Word, you will find yourself wandering. Now, in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2 and verse 13 and verse 17, Peter also talks about another issue that causes people to wander. And the next thing that Peter says is, people go astray by joining the wrong crowd. How many of you know some people who started in church and then they just mixed up with some people and then you just start seeing them slowly and slowly start deviating and following those people, wandering outside of the church? Listen to what Peter says in 2 Peter 3:17. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the arrow of the lawless and fall from your secure position. So Peter is saying, be careful of the company that you keep, because they themselves may cause you to wander. And so James here is saying that, listen, when you are a believer and there are people who are wandering, it is your job to take the initiative to pursue those people and to bring them back to the faith. So how did James say it? James says, listen, wanderers drift from the truth. Wanderers drift from the truth. Now, how do you drift from the truth? We said it earlier. You either do it deliberately or you do it carelessly. Now, what does it mean to drift from the truth? It means to practice sinful behaviors contrary to the truth outlined in God's word. So this is how you can judge whether or not you're wandering. The truth of God's word, how far have you deviated from that? Now, here's the interesting thing. The word of God is truth. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was praying to the Father, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." But not only that, the Bible also says that Jesus is the embodiment of truth. That's why in the scriptures it says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." So here's the thing, a life that is committed to following Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior is a life that is committed to following the truth. And James is saying, listen, you need to be careful and you need to actively pursue those people who are wandering away from the truth. We need to make sure that we do that. So James doesn't stop there. James says, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back. So what is James here saying? James is saying that when we are really concerned about other believers, we pursue them to help restore them back to the truth. It is the responsibility of every believer to go out there and actively pursue the wanderers. Look, read with me in the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. And I want you to listen how James says that we are supposed to actively pursue those that wander from the truth. First thing James says here in Galatians chapter 6, this is Paul actually speaking to the Galatians. And listen to what Paul says. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit of God should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. So the mission of believers is to actively pursue those who wanders from the truth and to help restore them back to the truth. It's a restoration thing that we ought to be doing for those who wander from the truth. And what the word that they use here, the illustration that they use here is when they talk about the word restore, it signifies a limb being disconnected from the joint and is replaced by a skilled physician. So what Paul here is saying is the people who need to restore those who actively wander from the truth are those who are living by the truth. So Paul is saying if you are spiritually mature, then you are the one that need to actively pursue those that are wandering so that you can restore them back to the truth. Paul didn't stop there. How are we to restore those who wander from the truth? Here's what Paul says. The way that you restore them, you do it gently. You hear that? Paul says, the way that you restore those who actively wander from the truth is you restore them gently. It's very interesting because you see, in church, some of us are so high and mighty and so spiritual that we see people who are actively wandering, and all we do is sit there and just curse them out. I can't believe she did that. I can't believe he's down there. I can't believe he's doing that. Look at him. He was all in the choir last week, and now he's in the world. God's gonna judge him. And rather than praying for those people, what we do? We condemn. We judge. And Paul is saying here, listen, if you have real concerns for other believers, if you have real concerns for people who wander, Paul says you need to actively pursue them and to restore them, but to restore them, you need to do it gently. You need to do it with some grace. It is just like what Pastor Gary was saying. Whenever you're speaking to others, be careful of the words that you use, because your words, believe it or not, have an effect on other people's lives. And it's like squeezing toothpaste out of a cube. Once you squeeze it out, it creates a mess trying to put it back in. And I believe that that's one of the things that us as believers have done to people who wander, because we judge them and we condemn them, and then we try to bring them back into church, and it doesn't happen. Why? Because we created a mess. Because we weren't gentle. I remember one time when I wasn't living the way that I ought to live. Well, I wouldn't say that I wasn't living the way that I ought to live, but here's one of the things. At our church, we celebrate the breaking of bread every Sunday. And for some of you who grew up in the Brethren Church, you know this to be true, that every Sunday, it's breaking of bread. 9 o'clock in the morning, 9:30, depending on what assembly you grew up in. So I was missing breaking the bread for maybe about a month or two. And when I missed breaking the bread service, there was this one lovely sister that decided that it was her responsibility to actively pursue me and restore me back to breaking the bread. So what she did was she saw me coming right after breaking the bread was over. I came late and she saw me for some reason. She was worshiping, but yet still she saw me. And she saw me and she said, "Calvin," and I was like, and this is loud in front of everybody. And this is what she did, and I kid you not, she stood there, and she looked to the left, and she looked to the right. The reason why she was doing that was she was looking for an audience. And she began to just tell me why I should be in the breaking of bread and how much I am sinning and how much I am living apart from the word of God. She wasn't gentle. She was condemning. And you know what that did to me? I got irritated. To tell you the honest truth, I probably would have started wondering at that particular time, because there were some things that I was thinking to say that thank God that I was guarding my tongue. But I couldn't say it, because she thought that in order for me to do this, guess what I need to do? I need to confront sin. And yes, if there is a wanderer, we need to act actively pursue them, to restore them, but we have to do it gently. We have to do it gently. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 18 in verse 15. Jesus says, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault. Just between the two of you. Did you see that? This is Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. Jesus is saying that if there is a brother or a sister in the church that are wandering, yes, you need to confront. But you need to confront them gently. You need to do it in private. It doesn't have to be something public. In other words, don't take it to the prayer meeting. You know how some of us go and pray? Father, I want you to bless so-and-so because you know they are out there living in the world. And so-and-so is living in sin with this other person. And you sit there and you think like, wait a second. Are you really praying for restoration? Or are you praying to condemn? What's the purpose here? In other words, this should not be the subject of prayer meeting. This should not be the subject of Bible study. This should not be the subject of small group. But if someone sins and you are actively pursuing the wanderer, what he is saying is you go and you meet with them gently. You go and you meet with them gently. We must confront the errors of the wanderer's way. And this is exactly what James is saying. James is saying that, listen, if your brother sins and you have restored that brother, then there is a blessing. Then you are doing something that will change, using Pastor Gary's word, the trajectory of that person's life. So what is it? So James says, we must really be focused on pursuing and restoring the wanderer back to the truth. We must do it with carelessness. We must do it gently. When we are gentle, we're patient. When we are gentle, we're forgiving. When we are gentle, we are loving. We must deal with them with gentleness. So what does James says? Our mission is not to condemn the believer. Our mission is to rescue the believer. It's a rescue mission that James is speaking about. What James is saying, as a believer, as a Christian, your job when there is a wanderer is to go out and you are to rescue the believer. You are to rescue the believer. Real concerns involve rescuing the believer from destruction. Remember what James here is speaking about. He is not talking about people who are unsaved. He is talking about a brother or a sister who were walking in the truth and has deviated from the truth. It is your job to go out there and to rescue them. I remember when I was in middle school, had a friend, his name was Andrew. Andrew was a pretty boy. Every time Andrew came around, all the girls were happy. We just used to like to hang around because we get some of the what left. Hey, listen. No shame in my game. I take it that way. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. So Andrew was a pretty boy. And I remember one time when we were in 8th grade or 7th grade, we went to Six Flags. Now, this was when Six Flags was in Dania. Some of you guys don't know that. Six Flags was in Dania many years ago. And we went to Six Flags, right? So we went to Six Flags. And, you know, when you go to Six Flags or you go to Rapids, they have this 10-foot jump that you jump off and jump into the pool. So, you know, because I grew up in Jamaica and we grew up next to a river, I was a swimmer, so I know how to swim, right? So I ran up there to the 10-foot, and I just, bam! And I jumped down, and I'm swimming back, going back to the ladder to get out the pool. And something just tell me to look down. I looked down, and there was Andrew struggling. I'm like, what in the world are you doing? You know, that's what I'm thinking in my mind. You know, and he is right next to the ladder. So I just reached down and pulled him up. And he held on to the ladder and he pulled him out of the pool. So I was like, Andrew, what in the world were you doing? He looked at me and was like, man, I'm sorry, but I don't know how to swim. And I was thinking to myself, and you think that a 10-foot jump is the best way to start learning? So throughout the whole day, I had to stay next to Andrew, because now, not only am I there to enjoy myself, but I gotta rescue this pretty boy from drowning himself because he wanna look pretty in front of the girls. You know, and this is exactly what James here is saying. When you have a believer who have wandered from the truth, it is your responsibility to go out there and to rescue them. To rescue them. You must go after them to rescue them. Now, here is how James put it. James put it here in the end, and look what he says. In verse 20, he said, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover a multitude of sin. See what James is saying? James is saying, when you go out there and you actively pursue the believer who have wandered, and when you confront them gently and they have turned around, because the word convert means to make a U-turn. So that means that if they were walking away from God's truth, then your job as a believer is to help direct them right back to the truth. And James says, whenever you direct an unbeliever, not an unbeliever, a believer back to the truth, then James says, you are doing something that is very, very important. And what you are doing is, James says, listen to what James says you're doing. You are saving them from death, number one. Because remember, it was James that talked to you a little bit about the process of sin, right? And James says that when a person have this desire to sin, they go out there and they sin. And then James says that the result of sin is what? Death. So here James coming back, and James is saying, listen, whenever you go and you rescue your wanderers, whenever you go and you rescue a person who used to walk in the truth and you bring them back into the fold, James is saying, you have just saved that person from utterly destroying themselves. You are saving them from destruction. But not only that, the person will now get the opportunity to experience the power of forgiveness. The power of forgiveness. James described it as a multitude of sin. In other words, what James was saying here is, when you have recovered someone or restored someone back to the truth, remember, it's God working through you, but when you have done that, when you have allowed yourself to be used by God to be able to do that, James is saying, you have just demonstrated the greatest aspect of love that there is. And that's why in Proverbs it says, love covers what? A multitude of sin. So the question that you may be asking is, okay, so what next? What do I do? Okay, I understand that I need to be concerned about the unbeliever. I understand that I need to go out there and to try to help restore the unbeliever. I do understand that I also need to rescue the unbeliever. But what do I do? What do I do, Calvin? What do I do? There are three suggestions that I would offer you when it comes to going out to restoring an unbeliever. Three suggestions. And I hope that you'll never forget these suggestions, because I use the acronym that's going to help with these, not really an acronym, three letters. And first letter is P, the second letter is C. And what do you think the third letter is? C. So I don't think you will ever forget this, right? So he says that whenever there is an unbeliever, whenever there is a believer who have wandered from the truth, you need to practice your PCC. You need to practice your PCC. You know what the first P is for? Prayer. We need to actively pray for people who have wandered away from the truth. Sometimes we like to go out there and we just want to confront. But I would suggest to you that the best thing to do before you confront is to pray. As a matter of fact, James was saying that prayer, lack of prayer, was the reason why the person got in the position in the first place. So in order for you to help that person, you need to pray. The second thing that James says you need to do is you need to confront. We need to confront the person who have wandered from the truth. You cannot see someone who have wandered from the truth and sit there in church and says, well, it's none of my business, but I'm praying. You can't see a person who is actively living in sin, who have wandered from the truth, and you decide that I'm not getting involved. Or you walk up to them and you say, you know, I'm praying for you. Or you're inviting them to come to church so Pastor Gary can talk to them. Remember what Paul says. You who are spiritual, which means that the onus is on you, the believer, the person who are spiritual. It is your responsibility, it is our responsibility to pursue and to restore those that have walked away from the truth. And how do we do it? We pray, we confront, and the third thing we do, we have compassion. We have compassion on them. You know why this is important? It was the last part of what Paul says. Look at the last part of what Paul says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Paul says, watch yourselves or you may also be tempted. That's very interesting. What Paul is saying here is, listen, yes, it's important for you and I to go out there and to confront, but we have to be careful that we do it with a spirit of compassion. And the reason why is because, listen, you can fall in the same trap at any time. The problem with most of us as believers is that we like to condemn, but we don't watch ourselves. We don't watch where we're stepping. We don't watch where we're walking. We don't watch who we're hanging out with. We don't watch what we're watching. But we're sitting there and we're condemning those who have gone and who have fallen away. But we don't watch ourselves. So James says, what do you need to do? First, we need to pray. Second, we need to confront. And the third thing that we need to do is we need to have compassion. Here's the thing. When you pray, when you confront, and when you have compassion on a believer who have walked away, you know what you have done? You have just demonstrated the love of God. Here's the thing. When you demonstrate the love of God to a believer who have walked away, you have just added value to their lives. What you are saying to them is, listen, you are that valuable to me. Remember what we started out saying? Whatever concerns God should concern us. Do you believe that a person who is lost or a person who wanders is valuable to God? Yes, he is. And if the person is valuable to God, guess what? They're valuable to me. You're valuable to me. Let me just close off by saying, during these times, one of my favorite movies to watch is the movie called Saving Private Ryan. Now, Saving Private Ryan is a movie about some Army Rangers who decided to go out there and to rescue one of their own who have just lost three of his brothers. And he was the last one remaining. And their job was to go out there and to rescue him. On their way going to rescue him, they fell into heavy fighting and heavy battle. And when they went to rescue him, he was still there, and he said to them, listen, I really can't leave the rest of my men right now because we are engaged in the fight amongst the enemy, and we can't do it. So the soldiers who came to rescue him decided, okay, we will stay with you and help you guys, but after that's finished, we've got to go back home because this is a rescue mission. The ending of the story was that same Army Ranger who they went to rescue was the only one that survived. And all the men that went to rescue him died. And at the end of that point where the last soldier who were rescuing the Army Ranger looked at him and he said, listen, I want you to earn this. Earn the fact that it cost us so much to leave everything that we have to come and rescue you. There are some of you that are here this morning who have never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And I want to tell you this. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to come into the world to die on a cross so that he can save you. It's one of the greatest rescue mission that there ever was. And you know why it was one of the greatest rescue mission? It was because of what it cost to rescue you. Jesus died on the cross to rescue you from your sins. And the only thing that he asked of you is to demonstrate that it was worth him coming down to die for your sins. And how do you demonstrate that? By having faith and trust in him. There are some of you also that are here this morning that may be wandering. You used to go to church. As a matter of fact, you find yourself here this morning, and you probably didn't even know how you got here because it probably wasn't in your intentions. And the reason why you're here this morning is because God wanted you to be here because he wants to rescue you. He wants to rescue you. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take this time, maybe about a minute or two. And for those of you that are here who have never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, what Jesus wants is for you to turn your life over to him. Because the price that he paid for your rescue from sin is so great. And the only thing that he wants is you to respond to that. To let him know that it was worth it. So if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'm going to give you that opportunity to do that. Now here's what's going to happen. I'm not going to lead you into a prayer. I'm going to ask you to talk to God. Because we can pray for you all we want, but until you start talking to God yourselves, then you won't experience that freedom that only comes from Christ. So let us bow our heads real quick. So if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus, all I'm going to ask you to simply do is just talk to him. Just say, Lord, you know what? I surrender. I've been running. I've been walking away from you. But right now I want to surrender. And I want to give my life over to you. Just take about 30 seconds to do that.